thanking God for who He are and who He is and how He continues to bless us in spite of ourselves. God is just a good God. He's an amazing God. And He is deserving of all praise, glory, and honor. It is also a privilege and a pleasure to carry and to proclaim, to preach God's holy word. His word is precious and sacred. We thank God for His word that He has given us. Then we want to thank God for the shepherd that's over this house, that God has anointed, that God has appointed for this hour to preach the good news to God's people. Thank God, Dr. Edlow, for you being a precious, obedient Jew to the body of Christ. How can we love Dr. Edlow and not love his wife? Amen, amen. Let's give him some love if we can. Amen, amen, amen. We want to thank everybody that's here, the deacons. We want to thank all of you precious people. We want to thank sinners and saints alike. It's good to be in God's house one more time. And I want to thank also my beautiful wife who is at home working. I tried to get her to come, but she wouldn't come. She wanted to work. So, hey, baby, I know you're watching on the live stream. Hey, and I will be home later on this evening. We thank God for everybody that's here. Reverend Atkins, I know you're watching also. God bless you, sir. We thank God for your presence and how you continue to provide to the body of Christ. I want to also thank my mother-in-law as well as my father-in-law for who they are and how they continue to allow their light to shine, not only just here in New Hope Fellowship, but all over this incredible county of Gloucester. We thank God for you. And then I want to thank God for my grams that's here as well. Amen. Many of you will not like this sermon at all, but I know one person in this house that at least going to give me an amen and is going to be behind me, and that's my grams. So when you hear me preach this message, and I know it's not going to be a warm, felt welcome, but if you got something negative to say, be careful, because grams just may lay hands on you for saying something bad about her grandson. Amen, amen. And then before we get preaching, I want to also give a special shout out to Keisha Matthews. I know she's not here, but Keisha Matthews is a part of the club now. She graduated from college. So we want to thank God for, amen, amen. Amen. And I challenged Keisha. I told her, I said, now is the time for you to go and get your master's. And I would like for her to get her master's, her JD.
I'm going to help you with changing.
Okay. It stands for jury duty, but it stands for judiciary degree or doctrine. So that would be good to have behind her name. Ain't that right, Mama? JD? Amen. What a blessing. Hey, Mom and Pop got the big dollars, so Keisha, they're going to pay for your education. Hey, we claiming that. We claiming that. Amen, amen, and amen. We thank God for everybody. We thank God more so for His presence and how He continues to bless. There is a word today. The scripture has been read. And I want to use as a subject, as a title, prayer answered, but with conditions. And then if I could have, I would have subtitled that to be careful what you pray for. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you, God, for making a way out of no way. We thank you, God, for your traveling mercies. We thank you, God, for just being good in our lives. despite what's going on around us, God, we know that you are a shield of protection, Lord, and we thank you for not allowing any hurt, harm, or danger to come our way. And then, God, we pray right now, Lord, that somebody may be touched by this word, but God, I pray, Lord, that you would decrease me so that you can be increased, so that those can see you come out of me. Then, God, I just pray that you give me preaching power. God, I pray, Lord, that you would allow this message to resonate to the entire world. God, I pray, Lord, that we as a people will learn to serve you, will learn to get into your word, will learn to worship you, learn to pray to you, learn to talk to you, Lord, learn to live by your statutes and your commandments. We thank you, God, for being good to us. It is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. And may the saints of God shout amen and amen. Before I begin to preach, I just want to share with you that if you have a pen or pencil, it's going to be a lot of scriptures that I will reference from this sermon. So if you can't have your pen and paper, and then when you go home, you can cross-reference some of the scriptures that I bring out. This passage of scripture, along with John 3:16, are two of the most recited and recognized scriptures in all of the Bible. In John's gospel, it is an in-depth, intimate, and isolated dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus the Christ. In the Chronicles passage, it's a follow-up of a prayer, plea, and petition between Solomon and God Almighty. In John's gospel, it's an account of a rich ruler named Nicodemus who humbles himself and begins to talk to the most high priest, according to John chapter 3, verse number 2. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 13, Solomon, who humbles himself and begins to talk to the Most High God. In both passages of scripture, both men, Nicodemus and Solomon, realizes that no matter what status and station I may have in life, no matter how wealthy I am, no matter how many people I have under my authority, I still have to humble myself and go to the Master. What both men are telling us today is that no matter if it's at night or during the day, I have to find a way and a time to somehow have a talk to the Most High God. I believe, my brothers and my sisters, that when it's all said and done, the most important presence to be in is the presence of God. That's why I don't waste my time worrying about what somebody else say about me or what somebody else may think about me or how I feel about me, because at the end of the day, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The reason why many of us are still going through the hell and horror and hurt that's plaguing and profiling your life is because you haven't humbled yourself and figured out that God is bigger than any problem and any obstacle that I'm facing in my life. I have discovered for myself that there's nothing impossible for our God. There's never been a problem that's too big for him to solve. There's never been a circumstance that's too difficult for him to change. There's never been a night that's too dark for him to brighten. There's never been a heart that's too broken for him to bless. There's never been a question that's too hard for him to answer. There's never been joy that's too lost for him to restore. There's never been a battle that the Lord could not win. There's never been a burden that the Lord could not lift. There's never been a disease that the Lord could not heal. There's never been a headache that the Lord could not feel. There's
never been loneliness that the Lord could not comfort this. Never been a promise that the Lord could not keep this. Never been doubt that the Lord could not destroy this. Never been sin that the Lord could not forgive this. Never been life that the Lord could not remove. There's never been a mountain that he could not remove this. Never been a weakness that he could not strengthen. There's never been a door that he could not open. There's no circumstance that can resist him. There's no adversary that can hinder him. There's no situation that can constrain him. There's no power that can control him. There's no enemy that can defeat him. There's no obstruction that can block him. Whatever you face in life, God's got the power to overcome it. This very familiar passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is the result of Solomon's prayer made to the Most High God after the completion of the temple. The temple was built on the request of David when he said to David, when he said to God, it would not be right, it would not be fair that I build the house of myself and you, God, have no resting place. David was referring to the covenant of God, the law of God, which was made for the children of Israel, and the temple was the resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. And God agreed with David that the temple can be built, but that David could not build the temple because he was a man of war and that his hand was full of blood, but that one of his own, Solomon, could come in and build the temple. And even though David could not build the temple, God gave David the plans for the building of the temple. And now in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse number 10, after Solomon had completed the building of the temple, Solomon stood at the altar of the Lord and stretched forth his hand, and he kneels and humbles himself and begins to pray to the Most High God. And the gist of Solomon's prayer is in chapter 6 and verse 16. Solomon is praying to the Lord God of Israel, asking God to keep his promise that was made to David, if that the children of Israel would walk in God's laws, in God's statutes, in God's judgments, in God's commandments. The law, the covenant of God, was the promise or the agreement given to Moses for the children of Israel on the condition that they would obey and follow God's laws. The law or the covenant of God or the Mosaic a covenant or the word of God was so precious and so sweet and so sacred only for the children of Israel, which was made by God of Israel. Israel is God's chosen nation because God had made a covenant, a promise, a decree, a commitment with Abraham, known as the Abrahamic covenant, which made Abraham the descendant of those of a great nation, and that they will occupy the land of Canaan, and Abraham would be the father of many nations. The nation of Israel is God's chosen nation. God's promise was to Abraham, but his law and his commandment was to the seed of Jacob, otherwise known as Israel, according to Deuteronomy chapter 44 and 45, Deuteronomy chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, and 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 9. The law was so precious and so sacred that it was written on a tablet directly from the hands of the Lord God Almighty. And that it was for only certain people that could even touch or handle the law. You remember in 1 Chronicles chapter number 9, verse 1 through 13, King Uzziah was killed for mishandling the word of God because only the Levites could carry the ark of the covenant because God's word was so precious. God's word is so perfect, so pure, so precise, so potent, so powerful, so prolific that even the psalmist declared in Psalms 19, verse 7 and 8, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's why, my brothers and my sisters, it's so important to know how precious and how powerful the Word of God really is. It's a travesty to misuse, abuse, profound, and exploit the Word of God. When you take the Word of God in vain, when you lie on the Word of God, when you falsely and intentionally abuse the Word of God, when you take the Word of God and use it in a photo prop in front of a church and refuse to open it up and read the Word for yourself, when you take the Word of God and put it in the back seat of your car window for show and refuse to open up the Word of God, when you pimp, prostitute, and pollute the Word of God, you are setting yourself up for the wrath of God to destroy your life. If you want to know and understand the benefits and the promises of the omnipotent power of obeying God's laws and God's commands, I would suggest that we all open up and read the most important book in all of the world. Thank God for His promises in His Word, because I found out that His Word is powerful, pure, profound, precise, profitable, proven, priceless, perfect, and proactive. When you obey God's Word, there is precious promises. Promises to hear from you when you pray. Promises to supply you when you are in need. Promises to give you when you ask. Promises to open up the door when you knock. Promises to reward you when you seek Him. Promises to satisfy you when you desire Him. Promise to receive you when you come to Him. Just like the children of Israel, I can say for myself, He's been bread when I was hungry. He's been clothed when I was naked. He's been comfort to me when I was lonely. He gave me hope when I was hopeless. He gave me strength when I was weak. He soothed my troubled mind. That's why, my brothers and my sisters, it's so important to know how precious and powerful the Word of God really is. In his prayer, Solomon asked God if he would keep his word, even if trouble comes to Israel, if under conditions that they would walk in God's law. And here in chapter number 7 and verse number 12, it is simply the answer to Solomon's prayer. This scripture that we consistently quote is simply the answer that King Solomon prayed to God. This is the second recorded account of Solomon's prayer. It is recorded in 1 Kings chapter number 9, verse 1 through 9. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 through 14. But in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, 2, 3, it states that this is the second time that God appears to Solomon. I always tell people, be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it and get it different from what you expect. Notice, if you will, that not only does God hear and answer Solomon's prayer, but he also accepts the condition, the completion of the temple in verse number 12, but also a part of that verse, the Most High God puts conditions on his response. Please take heed, if you will. Verse 13 says, if. The word if, Deacon Taylor, is contingent upon action to take place. Contingent according only if something is done, if something happens. The Lord God of Israel says, if, If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence amongst my people, if God says, if can happen, if can be real, if God Almighty would bring drought in the land. Let me explain it like this so we all can see it and feel it. If the Lord Almighty will cause a virus that will devour the land and cause many deaths to occur, if this virus will cause people to lose their jobs, prevent you from going to church, stop you from public activity, cause you not to have enough food to eat, or if you are unable to visit loved one, if God would put you in, would put in the minds of a people that would cause protest and rioting and cause the destruction of business and cause racism to rise like never before, if the Lord would have to make you suffer and change your entire lifestyle. What if the Almighty God made you live in fear and you had no idea when things would get better? Every day more and more people are dying, more and more people are losing their jobs. You can't feed your family. You cry every day wondering who it is. What if the Lord did this? The contingent or the action of if the Lord, God did it. Ask yourself, will God do it? Verse 13, beloved, contingent is reality in 2020. It's a present truth. It's a fact of the matter that is currently transpiring in our midst. It's real. It's happening not only here, but around the world. The word of God is real and it's alive. Now while you're going through what you're going through, what are you going to do about it? Now that you can't move, now that you can't turn, now that you can't see your loved ones, now you can't go and worship, now that you lost your job, Brother Payne, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Verse 13 says, God said, if I did it, so now what are you going to do about it? But God says, if I do it and I did it, I call all of this to get your attention. You pack more football games and more basketball games and more hockey games and more baseball stadium, and you refuse to pack my church house. You feel more bars, more hair salon, more plays, more movie theaters, but you refuse to come to Bible study. You worship Trump. You worship Oprah. You worship Beyonce. You worship your car. You worship your job. You worship alcohol. You worship drugs and everything else, but you won't spend time in the Word of God. You work 7 days. You play golf. You watch TV. You play videos. But you refuse to worship me. God says, I will get your attention and make you suffer. What if I stop you from doing the things that you love and make you struggle? What if I cause death in your midst just to get your attention? If you want to stop the wrath that of God that's taking place in your life, here's how you overcome it. And because we are in what we are in, which is our presence or carriage, the resolution of the conflict is contingent only if we obey God's word. God says, if I decide to put you in it, here's how I'm going to get you through it. God tells Solomon in verse number 14, if my people, which are called by my name, there's three contingent conditions I want to point out in the text. The first is if my people, which are called by my name, contingent condition for the people. We have already established that if is dependent upon action. If somebody, who, if my people, because the text is not talking about everybody. The Bible says that not all people, but if my people. We know God created everybody, don't get me wrong, but according to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 29, according to 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 16 and 17, according to 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 7 through 10, according to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 2, these are just a few scriptures that God himself calls not everybody, but Israel, his people. Who are my people? God is referring to his chosen people whom he made the covenant, the law with in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. It's important to know who you are and whose you are according to the Bible. If my people Israel, which are called by my name, Lord of hosts, Israel the Redeemer, God of Israel, Most High God, worthy to be praised, Rock of Israel, Lord God of hosts, the living God, the Lord of righteousness, the beauty of holiness, of avenger, shield of salvation, strength and power, worthy to be praised. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, lower oneself, be modest, not proud, less important. God is saying, if you want me to bring you through, there will be conditions. Those conditions are, if you are part of me, then bow down and pray to me, search after me, read my word, fast, and honor me. Then come out of your sin and your sinful ways. Come from out of your foolishness. Come from out of your wicked ways. If you do that, then I will hear your cry and forgive your sin and heal your land. A contingent condition for the people of God is to change your wicked ways. A contingent for the people of God is to repent and turn from your sin. A contingent condition for the people of God is to humble yourself. A contingent for the people of God is to focus on God. A contingent condition for the people of God is to pray. Not only is there a contingent condition for the people, but also there's a contingent condition for the leaders. Verse 17 says, if you, Solomon, would do according to the law that I have given you, and if you will obey what I have written, that you have placed in this house, in this temple that you have built, then I will establish the throne of the kingdom and from the promise that I made with your father, King David. Then Israel will always have a king of the lineage of David. What Solomon prayed for was granted, but with conditions. Even though this prayer was answered to Solomon, it was also a direct promise to the future leader and kings of the seed of David that they too must obey and observe God's statutes and judgments. God is telling Solomon and the future leaders of Israel the consequences if they decide not to follow or to follow the laws and commandments of God. But then there's another condition, another contingent condition, which is found in verse number 19. Contingent condition to all of God's people. Leaders plus and including everybody, all of God's people, all of the children of Israel. But the text said, but if ye, Sister Taylor, ye is a plural pronoun addressing a group or multiple or many people. In the plural form of pronoun, it refers to more than one. Ye refer to not just one person, but all of Israel. So the text says in verse number 19 through 22, God is talking about it to all of the children of Israel, present and future. God is putting stipulations and restraints on the outcome of your condition and your current and future situation. God is saying, what do you want? Do you want the blessings or do you want the curses that I have for you? When you are a child of God, there's different standards, there's different requirements, there's different responsibility afforded to you for being a child of God. You just can't do anything and everything that you want to do. The Bible even says, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, says the Lord. God wants you to live in righteousness. Why? Because you ain't just anybody. Because you are a child of the King. You are chosen. You are above and not beneath. You are a lender and not a borrower. You are of royal blood. You are a king's kid. Your daddy is rich in glory. You are a redeemer. You are brought with a price. Deacon Burnett, do you know who you are? Solomon was the last king of both northern and southern Israel before it was divided. King David, a black man, was his daddy. Jesse was his granddaddy. Jesse's granddaddy was Boaz, a black man. They were descendants of Jacob, who was the son of Abraham, a black man. Abraham was the seed of Shem, who was the son of Noah, a black man. Ye is referring to God's chosen people who were black. The Israelites were black people of the Bible. Ye, yes, we fit into this ye because we are the descendants of Shem and Jacob. These are those that you see in these ridiculous Hollywood movies like Charlton Heston, who played Moses. He ain't no black man or a white man by the name of Jim Caviezel playing Jesus in Mel Gibson movie Passion of the Christ. He ain't no black man. The Holy Bible even describes Jesus as a black man. And don't forget about the white Jesus that you see hanging in so many of the churches and so many of the homes around and across this world. That's a portrait of Caesar Bujera, who is the white face of a false god of Jesus that we've seen and have seen growing up. Can I tell somebody something here? I know you're going to put me out of the church. You ain't going to never invite me back after I say this. If anybody tell you that it doesn't matter what Jesus' color is, then they don't know their Bible. Because in Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse number 3, thou shalt not greet God from Zion, have no other God before me. Verse number 4 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven or above or that is not in the earth or beneath or that is in the water or underneath the earth. Verse number 5 says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. Stop bowing down and real stern in the eyes and tell them, if it does not matter, then take down your false images of your white Jesus that's hanging in your church and in your house, and put up the true and closest image to Jesus, which is described in the Holy Bible. It may not matter to you, but it matters to God Almighty. And if it doesn't matter to you, then all that matters to me is what matters to God Himself. Whenever someone tells you that all lives matter and refuse to say black lives matter, just tell them, if it wasn't for black lives, the lives that God created before white lives, then really it's your life that really don't matter, because you won't exist if it wasn't for black lives. Black lives should be and is the most important life that matter. If it was black folk that existed on the face of the earth long before any other race, it was black folk that created everything on the face of the earth. Yes, black folk are the most important lives that matter. It was black lives that made the U.S. the most powerful nation on earth. If it wasn't for black lives, then this country wouldn't even be in existence. Yes, we created the automobile. Yes, we created the airplane. Yes, we created the alphabet. Yes, we created the air conditioner. Yes, we created the battery. Yes, we created the bicycle. Yes, we created the computer. Yes, we created the cell phone. Yes, we created the clothes dryer. Yes, we created the doorknob. Yes, we created electricity. Yes, we created the elevator. Yes, we created the fire extinguisher. Yes, we created the gas mask. Yes, we created the guitar. Yes, we created the hairbrush. Yes, we created home security systems. Yes, we created the helicopter. Yes, we created hockey. Yes, we created Jim Beam. Yes, we created the iron board. Yes, we created the keychain. Yes, we created the lock. Yes, we created the mailbox. Yes, we created modern medicine. Yes, we created the needle. Yes, we created the organ. Yes, we created the pencil sharpener. Yes, we created paper. Yes, we created the piano. Yes, we created quilts. Yes, we created the shoe. Yes, we created the traffic light. Yes, we created the toilet. Yes, we created the xylophone. Yes, we created the video commander. Everything from A to Z. We did it. Yes, black lives are the most important lives on the face of this earth. We fit into this ye. That's why when God says ye, the expectations are that if my people, there's standards that you have to do in order for you to receive the blessings that of God, that God has for you. If you, my people, if you want to get out of the mess that you're in, there's conditions that you must follow. There's standards that I have set for you. There's guidelines that you must adhere to. Open up the word of God and live by my statutes and judgment. And if you do not adhere to my statutes and my commandments and my judgment, here are the conditions for you. I will destroy the temple and punish and remove you from the land, and you will be slaves to not only other people, but people across this world. This familiar and often recited passage of scripture is God requiring us to take action. Live by his precious word. He wants us to put away the gods that we have made and that we have served, but only serve the true and living God. I'm hoping, my brothers and my sisters, that your heart, that our heart, won't be callous and won't be hard as our ancestors did in the book. God gave them a chance to get it right, but they kept sinning and sinning and sinning until God put them in bondage and made them suffer a great suffering. And while God allowed us to suffer, he still didn't forget about us, because there's another if, great God from Zion. If given to us by Jesus the Christ, if made by the Savior of the world, found in John chapter 15 and verse 5 through 7. For the Bible says that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do nothing. If you do not remain in me, and if you are like a branch that is thrown away by the withers, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and then burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Now is the time, beloved, to cling to the only Savior that we got, and that is Jesus the Christ. It's good to quote scriptures, but now is the time to have a living word living on the inside of you. He's the only one that can heal the man. He's the only one that can bring you peace. He's the only one that can heal the sick. He's the only one that can feed the hungry. He's the only one that can redeem a sinner. He's the only one that can raise the dead. He's the only one that can renew your soul. He's our victory for every battle. He's our shelter for every storm. He's our deliverer for every bondage. He's our sacrifice for every sin. He's our supply for all of our needs. He's our peace when we are perplexed. He's our God for every journey. He's our glory for every gloom. He's our strength when we are weak. He's our wisdom for our decision. He's our love for our soul. God gives you choices by saying, if my people, what conditions do you want to be in? The choice is yours. That scripture that we quote so often is dependent upon action. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want to follow God's ways. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get through what is real? We want to fulfill the big portion of verse number 14, but God wants us to fulfill the A portion. Humble ourselves and pray and turn from your wicked ways. Now is the time to humble yourself and worship the one that can bring you out of whatever you're going through. Now is the time, beloved, to bow down and worship him. The Bible declares that when we worship, we should worship him in the beauty of holiness. For he alone is worthy to be worshipped and adored. The wise man fell down and worshipped him. Solomon, in all of his splendor and beauty, fell down and worshiped him. When you humble yourself and begin to worship, the treasures that are in earthen vessels will begin to open up. And the gifts of the Spirit of God that is within us will begin to flow. I believe that if we begin to worship God with our whole heart, with our whole spirit, with our whole soul, God's presence and his power will begin to move right where you are. And you will begin to be healed, set free, and be delivered. When you bow down and lift up your voice and begin to worship him, if he's done anything for you in your life, now is the time to worship. Amen. Amen. Humble yourselves and worship. We're going to extend the doors of the church to be open.